It's not Zion today. And we were holding in the middle of a problem, because what happened yesterday is that we had been machner on somebody, Ketrei Chumres. They asked what the din would be about a mavoi that was akum. And they came around in Narda to the Beit Din, and the Beit Din was machmer on them in some crazy way to treat them with the chumra both of Rav and of Shmuel. So they said, okay, this is a mavoi mefulash, even though Shmuel says that it's not mefulash, but okay, we'll pass it like Rav lechumra. So then they said, okay, but so what do we need? So what? Well, you need doors. Doors, but according to Rav, even on a mavoi mefulash, you don't need doors. It's enough to have tzurat ha-petach, like the Tanakama, a tzurat ha-petach on one end, and a mavoi and a lechi on the other end. Ah, but as far as that's concerned, you see, we paskin like Shmuel. Shmuel says the halach is like Hananya, and you need doors. A little bit of Beit Hillel. But if you're paskin like Shmuel, so then this is not a mavoi mefulash, because the mavoi akum has a din of a satum. Ah, yes, but as far as that's concerned, we're paskin like Rav. So you can't win. So the Gemara asked, how could the Beit Din in Narda Paskin, both like Rav Lechumra and Shmuel Lechumra, when we say, and let's just read quickly over that Braita, because it's such a choshev of Braita, Vahatanya, which is on the third line of the large lines, Vahatanya, the Olam Halacha, ke Beit Hillel, varot selasot, kidvrei Beit Shammai osei, kidvrei Beit Hillel osei. The Halacha is really like Beit Hillel. Somebody who wants to go follow Beit Shammai can do so like Beit Hillel, could do so, which is a contradiction, which we'll ask in a moment. But somebody who chooses Mikulei Beit Shammai and Kulei Beit Hillel, he chooses always the Kula is a Rasha. Someone who chooses always the Chumra, Mikumrei Beit Shammai and Mikumrei Beit Hillel, Alava Katuv Omer, Haksil Bechoshech Olech, the fool walks in darkness. So does that mean that the Beit Din and Narda were fools? That's our problem. Continues the Braita. Elaike Beit Shammai, if you're going to paskin like Beit Shammai, Kikuleihem Vekachumreihem, you have to follow them all the way. Ike Beit Hillel, Kikuleihem Vekachumreihem. You have to follow them all the way. Now, it's clear that the Gemara does not expect you to follow one shita just because you did it in one issue, like one shita. You should always follow that shita. Because as we pointed out yesterday, if that would be the case, we should throw out the Shulchan Aruch. We certainly never paskin like one shita all the way through. So what exactly is the problem? So the Rishonim explained the problem in this case is that the common denominator between both Rav and Shmuel is that you do not need latot. And therefore, the Gemara considered this to be a violation of the Ksiv B'Choshech Olech, because you're creating a non-existent shita. You're saying a mavoim like this, akum, requires latot. Nobody holds that. Shmuel holds this mavoim akum is not mefulash, and Rav holds it may be mefulash, but it doesn't require latot. So will you tell me, please, who you're following? That, the Gemara held, is insane. Because you're creating a shita, which is basically a gimera. I mean, you're now putting together something which is a monstrosity. You're not following anybody. So this mavu should not require any type of tikkun needing latot according to any shita. And therefore, it's considered to be a ksil b'choshech olech to put together things in order to create situations which no individual shita would have held need to be dealt with. That is the havamina, you know, over here. So first, the Gemara pointed out yesterday, Haguf Akash, don't you have a problem here anyway? Because at first you started off by saying, Amar Olam Halacha Ke Beit Hillel, and then you change your mind and say, well, maybe it's not always like Beit Hillel. It's up to you. Arotzel Asor Ke Divrei Beit Shammai Oseh, and how do you say that? Well, that's not a problem. Lo Kasha Kan Kodem Batko Kan Lachar Batko. Actually, we will see later on in our perek that there was a Batko that came out to Paskin like Beit Hillel. Or we could say, you know what, maybe even Achar HaBatko. V'ibayte Mahavaha li'achar batko, v'rabi Yoshua yidelo mishkach v'batko. So maybe even though the halakha is Beit Hillel, it's not an absolute. And you'll notice it doesn't say ha, k'rabi Yoshua v'ha k'chachomim. I do follow the... In other words, it's not that necessarily Rabbi Yoshua disagrees with the fact that halakha is Beit Hillel. He's saying, but it's not an absolute, so I wrote Tzelah Tzot, and that's the point. A little bit strange language. But he's not Mashgiach Bebatko, even though Lemaisa, the source of the psak, that Lo Mashgichim Bebatko, does not seem to be universal. Because the mocker of this, of course, is the story of Rabbi Eliezer with the Tanur Shalachnai, where, remember, Rabbi Eliezer insisted that his approach to the Tanur that had been cut and then had been put together using tit to be machaberet, big machloket, whether that's considered to be breaking the Tanur or not. And all types of weird things went on that day in which Rebbe Eliezer insisted that if he's right, then the walls should come tumbling down and the water should flow backwards, all kinds of things. And all of his demonstrations, the Chachamim said, but we don't pass it according to water, we don't pass it according to walls. So anyway, a batko comes out, that the halacha is to Rebbe Eliezer, and Rebbe Yeshua says, well, we don't pass it like batkos either, so mind your own business. So went back to, this is Loba Shamayim, right? So Tosfos points out that that seems to be a unique case, because the problem over there is, why is this any different than, we're saying over here, Kan Liachar Batko, over there everybody accepted the fact that the Batko of Rebbe Eliezer was not Malacha. We didn't say it was Machlokas, whether it's Batko, we passed it like a Batko or not. So it says, because over there it was clear in the context of everything that was going on, that it was all Lichvodo de Rebbe Eliezer anyway. All these things were going on, and therefore nobody accepted that Batko. In which case, as Tosfos says, how do we know that Rebbe Yoshua would have passed another any in all circumstances? Anyone speaking about it? Maybe it was because this Batko was coming out to live for those Rebbe Eliezer. And Tosfos explains this, this is an important Nakuda because it defines the nature of our relationship to Torah through Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why I'm spending the time on it. So Tosfos says the psak of Rebbe Yoshua had nothing to do with the circumstances because he brings a raya, lamaisa, from Loba Shamayim. And that idea of Loba Shamayim had nothing to do with Rebbe Eliezer. It was a universal way of looking at things. And therefore, no matter what the circumstances are, we wouldn't pay any attention. But over here, says Tosfos, this is a unique situation. Why we would pay attention, that's the point. This is not a normal case. Nobody holds we would be much Mashgiach Batko. The point over here is that, normally speaking, the reason we don't agree with the Batko over there is because we have a klal, halacha k'rabim, achrei rabim, Nintot, and so on. Well, how could a Batko change the Torah? I mean, then we might as well go Christian. I mean, maybe somebody sets up a loudspeaker somewhere and says, I've changed my mind. You know? I mean, so that's a ridiculous way to lead your life. The point of Torah is it's a definition of that. You're going to say, all of a sudden, we've abrogated gravity. I mean, but nature doesn't work that way. Torah doesn't work that way. The reason that we even entertain the Batko over here is because the rabbim were, in fact, Beit Hillel. And therefore, the Batko is corroborating the halacha of achrei rabim Nintot. The only reason that we needed some kind of heavenly indication that we were right to follow achrei rabim Nintot, says Tosfos, is because Beit Shammai were a lot smarter than Beit Hillel and were capable of defining things better and so on. And therefore, we felt funny following the nice guys, you know, and not following the people who were, appeared to be more intellectually rigorous, even though they're in the Miyut. Maybe in such a case you should follow the people who know. Therefore, the Batko corroborated, look, Achrei Rabim Nintot has nothing to do with giving people IQ tests or measuring as far as that this is the way we came out in the Beit Din, and that's the way we came out, and that's all there is to it. So therefore, here, we talk about the Batko as if it's meaningful. Normally speaking, everybody would have agreed that that ain't much giving the Batko.
Yeah, but how does this match the Kasha, according to the Shadokan earlier, to the spreading?
No, we haven't answered that. We haven't even begun answering that. The Gemara now is only dealing with Hagufa Kasha. You got a problem, here's how to deal with that problem. Levi Day, Mavi Kama. Or you know what? Maybe when it said the next piece, Harotzela Sotke Beit Shammai, Harotzela Sotke Beit Hillel, it was not referring to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. It was using Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as a model. The reason that it uses Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as a model is because up until the days of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, there were no arguments. So the Gemara says, Misharabu, Talmidei Shamayim Hillel, that were not Medaktikim, they weren't Meshamishim, Kol Tzorchan, Rabu Machloket B'Yisrael. So, Lichvod, so to speak, them, we call all of the Machlokas, and subsequently, the type of Machlokas that you get between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And therefore, we don't really mean, Harotzela Sotkin Rivei Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. No. We mean, Kolei Kada Mashkach Tetrei Tanoi, Betrei Amoroi. The Pligi Adodi Ke'en Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, wherever you will find a Machloket Tanaim or Amoraim, who can't see eye to eye in the same way that Talmidei Shammai and Hillel don't see eye to eye, then you can do what you want as long as Lola Avet Kikulei Demar Kikulei Demar. Don't choose the Kulot of one exclusively, and don't choose the Chumrei Demar V'Chumrei Demar, the Chumrot of one, and then put it together with the Chumrot of the other. You have to make up your mind. In which case, back to our case and the Beit Din in Narda, become a Kom Kasha. So how do we explain their behavior in Paskening in this seemingly absurd way to require dilatot in a mavui befulash when neither Rav or Shmuel would have held that you need dilatot in a mavui akum, although, albeit for different reasons, but the bottom line is that they create a monster by putting together two completely different sets of DNA, and now they're going to pass it. That's Exil B'Choshech Olek. Answers the Gemara, Omra Nakur Bar Yitzchak, Kulei K'Rav Avdua. It's not true. That was your analysis, that they went half like Rav and half like Shmuel. The fact is that Rav had never publicized his psak to treat this as a mavui satun. to treat this aliba the Tanakama. Because even though he said aloha ke Tanakama, Omar Avuna, Omar Rav, the Omar Avuna, Omar Rav, halakha ve'ein morin kein. Even though Rav said that the halakha is like Tanakama, that you don't need latot like Hananya, aliba the Beit Hillel, but I wouldn't publicize that psak. Since he wouldn't publicize that psak, that means that in terms of the way people were meant to act, they should be machmir because it would lead to too many kulot. And so when we said to put on latot, we were following Rav. Rav holds that this is a mavui mefulash. Mavui mefulash, according to Rav, would at least in public, would require latot like Hananya. When you asked him in private, he said, look, really, the halakha is like Tanakama. Tzurat ha-petach is sufficient. Yeah, well, what about according to Rav Adavar Abba Marav, who yesterday publicized that psak and said that Rav holds straight across the board, halakha morin kein, we paskin that you do not require latot, Tzurat ha-petach is sufficient. What are you going to say about him? Michael Amimar, are you accusing the Beit Din and Narda of being fools? Rav Shizbi, because you missed the point. There's nothing wrong with following the shita of Rav to call it a mavui mefulash, and then go and say, and if it is a mavui mefulash, we'll follow Shmuel's shita that says a mavui mefulash requires latot. The only rule that says that you're a fool if you follow a mixture of shitot lechumra is where the piskei halachot are contradictory, not where they're additive. In this case, they're additive. You want to paskin. There's two separate sugyot here. How to look at a mavui akum, and how to look at the tikkun of a mavui mefulash. They have nothing to do with each other. Two completely different sugyot. There's no reason for me to avoid saying, look, I paskin the way Rav looks at this. I also think it's a mavui mefulash. What's the din of a mavui mefulash? Mavui mefulash, I paskin, needs latot. You have a problem with that? It's okay. There's no foolishness in that. The fact that neither Rav or Shmuel would have held that way doesn't make me a fool. I hold that way. Something wrong with that. Where it does become something wrong is where you have a machloket where a single svara has there's a Nobel Prize waiting for you. Where a single svara has a tzad l'chumra in sugya A, and that svara has a tzad l'kula in sugya B. And you go ahead and say, well, when it's l'chumra, then I like the svara. But when it's l'kula, I like the opposite svara. I mean, that's crazy. If you like the svara, then stick with it. Where do we find that? We do find such a case. For instance, we have a sugya, which is what constitutes a broken skull. In terms of what? Two different issues. We have an issue of a gulgulet, a hole through the skull, which will create tarfut in an animal. And we have a machloket legabe, a hole in the skull, which will take away the tuma ba'ohel of a skeleton that is so damaged. Now, so if you're going to say that a smaller hole is considered to be a non-viable skull, so then in terms of tuma, you're being now mako, because even a small hole will take away the tuma in the oil. But legabe treifus, you're being machmir. But it's the same svara. What is considered to be sufficient damage to destroy the viability of an organism that has a skull with the size hole? Now, you can't paskin in one case lachumra and say, well, when it comes to taking off the tuma, I need a massive damage to the skull. But when it comes to being to saying that the animal is not kosher, any little hole makes it not kosher. And make up your mind. That's considered to be Exil B'Choshech Olek. And there, indeed, we do have a machloket in those two sugyas. The Satrei Ha'adotik, Kigun Shidra V'Gulgolet. That's not. We have the question in two different places. In Chulin, in terms of submission in two places. In Chulin, in terms of Tarfut. And in Ohalot, in terms of Tumat Ohel. Now, he says over there, if the Shidra and Gugolot were chaser, v'kama chisaron b'shidra, this is, I gave you the case of the Gugolot, there's also a question of the Shidra. So, Beit Shammai omrim shtei chuliot. If you're missing two vertebrae in the spine, then you don't have a viable spine, because ultimately the damage to the spinal cord will be fatal. Ubeit Hillel omrim chuliyachat. Beit Hillel says even if you're missing one chuliyah, it's also considered to be damaged and non-viable. Therefore, for tarfut, Beit Hillel is being machmir. For tumat oil, Beit Hillel is being mekel. The machlok is begulgolet. What's considered to be a gulgolet that is chaser? Beit Shammai omrim kemalei magdeach. The shear is the normal width of a surgeon's drill, a brain surgeon's drill. Once you let those doctors get at that skull, it's all over. So mamela, if the surgeon is drilled, the guy's not going to survive, so to speak. Beit Hillel says the shear is large enough to remove that section of bone that will cause death. Okay, there the Gemara discusses what exactly is enough to be in the shear. But in any event, we bring this Mishnah from Olos and Chulin because Rav Yehuda Mishmol points out whatever the din would be in terms of Chisar B'Shidro, B'Gugolet, is truly in Treifa as well. And therefore, we can apply the Olos Sugya to Chulin. Now, obviously, you cannot have it both ways. If you hold that a tiny hole in a Gugolet is enough to take away Tumat Hameit, then it's a Chulin. Okay, so then you're going to be Machmer by Tarfut. You can't say, well, but I want to be Mako by Tarfut also, because then you're a Russia. You're going to say, yeah, by Tarfut, you need a lot to be missing. If you need a lot, you need a little. But on the other hand, you can't say, for Tarfut, even a small hole makes a treif, because the animal now is not viable. Yeah, but when it comes to Tuma, I don't want to be Mako. You need a very large hole to take away the Tuma. So well. That's a Xilba Khoshikhalik. So over there, it's Satre Adad. Where there's no contradiction, so then there's no problem in following Rav's Shita as to what constitutes above the foolish, and Shmuel's Shita into what tikkun you need on above the foolish. That's the Gemara. Are you telling me that the rule is that we would never do two things that are contradictory? Well, mostly from Misharasha. How about the famous Maaseh Rabbi Akiva, who went ahead, v'liket etrog, he went, and etrog over here means the tree, not the fruit. He went ahead and he collected from an etrog tree on the first of Shvat, and he wasn't sure whether he should take off Meiser from this year, which was a Meiser Rishon Vesheni year, or perhaps he should take off Meiser on its big part of the next year, because already I've had Bishvat, and that would be Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani, because it was the third year. And we know that it's a machlok at Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. When is Rosh Hashanah for Ilanot? Now we pass it like Beit Hillel that it's on Tu B'Shvat, whereas Beit Shammai said it's on the first day of Shvat. And here Rabbi Akiva did both. He took off both Meiser Ani and Meiser Sheni. Of course, he did this with a Tanai, like we do, and we're in the Supik when a Peri is from. So we say, if it's Meiser Sheni, I'm taking this off as Meiser Sheni. I'm going to be poted. If it's Meiser Ani, then that's Meiser Ani. He, of course, who had Vadai, he gave it to an Ani after being poted. But in any event, is he a fool? He was going both like Beit Hillel and like Beit Shammai. Not an etrog. The nag boshnei yisurim echad kidivrei Beit Shammai veechad kidivrei Beit Hillel. Rabbi Akiva Gemara is stopik leivlo yada. I Beit Hillel bechad b'shvat amor or bechamisar b'shvat amor. He wasn't going like Beit Shammai. He had gotten confused about what Beit Hillel shita was. Whether it was Beit Hillel who said echad b'shvat or was Beit Hillel who said tu b'shvat. In order to be Yotze, to Beit Hillel, to be Yotze, the Safek, he took it off, Mitzara Safek. Not that he was mocked, but truly he took it off with condition. If it is this, so then it should be Meiser Sheni. If it's that, it should be Meiser Ani. But that's not, we're only talking about where somebody likes a Svara, Lechumra, always. That's an idiot. So therefore, it is all about Hacha Lechumra, Vacha Lechumra. Yosef, Rav Yosef, committed Ravuna, Yosef, Omar. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Ravuna and was saying like this. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, machloket b'sratya mikan v'sratya mikan, the whole machloket between the Tanakhama, who says tzrata petach on one side of a mavoy hamefulash, and a lechi or korah on the other, and between Hananya Aliba de Beit Hillel, who said, no, you got to have doors on one side, not a tzrata petach, that machloket is only where you've got a mavoy that is running between a sratya on one hand, and a sratya on the other hand. A sratya is the what we would call a highway, the main road. So you've got, let's say, a street running between two avenues. That's one case. Or you could have a platja mikana platja. Mikana platja is a boulevard where people, like a Columbus Circle kind of thing, where people will walk and they have a different streets coming into, and that's the center of the corridor where you have shops and things like that. But you could have a platja on either side, and this is a road that's going between the different, what is it called? The piazza? What do they call it in Italian?
Piazza.
Yeah, so it's a piazza kind of idea.
Perpendicular?
It just runs between them. There's no,
it doesn't matter.
How could it matter in a platya? In a sratya, there's perpendicular. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can have, I mean, you can have a platya, obviously, in a sratya. I mean, that's for sure. Abo sratya mikanu, bika amikanu. On the other hand, if it runs between it, the highway, the main road, and just an open area on the other side, is leading out of town, which is not a rishudrabim, which is a carmelite, that's not called mifulaj. Or if it's got, if it runs between two open areas, it doesn't open up into a Rishut HaRabim at all. There's no road. And there's no problem. Hey, but why did you say, I mean, so what, then over there is just, you make it Tzarek HaPetach. For sure, according to everybody. Nobody says you need a door. And the other side takes the left of the corridor. Now, why did you say that? If you're ready to say, Ashta Sratya Mikano Bika Mikano. If you're ready to say that even if there's a superhighway on one side, but it opens on the other side into an open area, that nonetheless you don't need the doors, and it's Tzarek HaPetach is sufficient. So obviously, if on either side it opens up into an area that doesn't have Rishut HaRabim, why even mention it? Now, of course, you could say the reason that it mentions it is tell me that you do need the Tzarek HaPetach. Right? Says Tosfos, for some reason the Gemara held that it's very not mashma that he's coming to tell me that you need the Tzarek HaPetach. The whole point of the way he's presenting is that you don't need the Dlatot. So what would be the Chiddush in that? The way to understand it is, Aval Sratya Mikan Ubika Mikan might as well be Bika Mikan Ubika Mikan. In other words, it's not a Mavri Mefulash, and it's Naset Kibika Mikan Ubika Mikan. Don't think that wherever you have something up opening up on that side to a superhighway, that by definition that side requires a door because of its closeness to the highway. That's not true. It has to lead between two highways. And if not, even the side next to the highway doesn't need anything other than a left or a kora, as long as there's a tzurat ha-petach on that side. Okay. Now, the first part he said over in the name of Rav, right? He said, Rabbi Yehuda taught me this in the name of Rav. Now, we know that Rabbi Yehuda learned both by Rav and Shmuel, if you recall. He was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. And therefore, many times when Rabbi Yehuda says something, we're not sure if he learned it from Rav, if he learned it from Shmuel. Sometimes he learned it from both. The Gemara will say sometimes he would say the name of Rav, sometimes he would say the name of Shmuel. Sometimes he didn't say who he learned it from. So Rabbi Yehuda says like this word. The first part of this I heard from Rabbi Yehuda, and he told me that Ferushi learned it from Rav. He continued telling me, but he didn't say the following I heard from Rav. So that I want to make very clear. I'm not quoting out the name of Rav, I'm quoting the name of Rabbi Yehuda himself. Messiah by Mishmeh Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef would continue this thing in front of Ravuna. He continued explaining, but he said, he didn't mention Rav, this Rabbi Yehuda told me, that im hayam, avui kalal rechava, ein tzarech klum. On the other hand, I'm only telling you a case where it opens up into a bika, because basically into wide open spaces, and it opens up into Montana. Okay? But suppose it opens up into somebody's backyard. No, who cares? Even if that backyard is itself open onto a highway, and right connected, and you're standing in the front in the Mavui on Fifth Avenue, you look through, and you look straight through, and it's going through to Sixth Avenue. So you're looking right through, and it looks to you like it goes through the street. You could cut across. You drive in, and you find yourself in this guy's backyard, where there's a hole that was connected the street. You do not need, in that case, to be metaken the side that ends up in the backyard. So here's our picture. Since we love having pictures, we can't possibly on our own imagine what it would be like to have a street that would end up in a backyard. Right? I mean, it's really difficult to imagine. But here it is. Just for you to make sure. In 41, in the middle. There you are. Now, the way we know it's a backyard is that it doesn't have any grass. The next picture is where it crosses the front yard. That has grass. So it's a very meaningful, all right? So in such a case, if it ends up in a rechava, now the reason that it's important for us to mention rechava as opposed to a chatzar is because by mentioning rechava, we avoid a very important complication, which is diurim. Remember that Erevin has two main problems. One problem is the physical construction of the mefitzot to avoid confusion with the Reshut HaRabim. But the other one is the usage of diurim, where you have many different people using a commons. That commons becomes, because of the use, similar to Reshut HaRabim, and requires Eruv or Shituf Mevo'ot. By having a case in which the road ends, the mavui ends, in a backyard, we avoid the diurim issue. Because a backyard, even though people may sometimes use it, is not the primary entryway to a rishus, and therefore we ignore diurim in a backyard. It's here there's no diurim. The implications here are very fascinating, because since I needed to tell you specifically a case of a backyard, it means that I held that it had the same thing, exact same situation, end up in somebody's front yard, which was broken through to the next avenue, then I wouldn't have been able to use the mavui because of the diurim. And I would have had to have a shita from the vod. Whereas in this case, there's no problem. Okay, so that means there's two shitas, two chidushim here. First of all, despite the fact that the door, as far as the people in the mavui are concerned, they don't even notice that when you get out of the mavui, you're going to have plenty of space that's got a wall that's just facing you, that there's a big hole in the wall that was smashed through by somebody backing up yesterday. So you think it's open all the way through, but the fact is, when you come out, you see there's pieces of broken wall on either side. It's not as if the Rechava was completely open to Reshut HaRabim. It was only open Mul HaMavui. That nonetheless, in the Mavui, despite the fact that it looks completely open, it's not considered to be Mufulash. That's Chiddush number one. Chiddush number two is that had there been people in this area, meaning if it had been a Chatzer and not a Rechava, the difference being defined not by its geometry, but which is the difference between Mavui and Chatzer, pure geometry, but between Rechava and Chatzer, the difference is usage. So therefore, over here, had there been people, and had it been a chatzar, it would have been asur. Now, that's what he said. I don't know who he learned it from. I don't know if he learned it from Rav, or if he learned it from Shmuel. But this I'm telling you from Rav Yudin. Only Abaya Rav Yossi. Now, Abaya, who heard this, said, hey, I can absolutely guarantee you that it's not from Rav. That second part, he heard from Shmuel. What did Rav Yudin and Shmuel leave? Because Rav would not have agreed. Because had he said this in the name of Rav, then Rav would have contradicted himself on both counts. Remember, there's two counts here. Do diurim in a chatzar that is broken into in this fashion by a mavui? Do they aser the b'nei ha-mavui? That's your first question. The second question is a wall that is smashed in its entirety, at least from the perspective of a b'nei ha-mavui, is that considered to make it into a mavui mefulash? On both counts, Rav argued with what you just quoted, Rav Yudah is saying. How do I know that? Because Rav, Kasha the Rav and the Rav Batati, had it been Rav, Rav would have contradicted himself in both counts. Why? The owner of Yirmiyah Bar Abba Marav. Here, Rav is quoted by Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba as saying that a mavui shenifratz bimlo'o lechatzer. This is the same case, except instead of a rechava, he postulates a chatzer. And here it's broken right in front of it. Nifratz a chatzer kenegdo. Nonetheless, the din is that the chatzer is muteret and the mavui is asur. To the chatzer, there's no problem because the break is only a break. Being less than 10 amot, it has a din of a petach. It doesn't cover the complete wall because on either side there's broken wall, so it has a din of a petach, and that's called gifufim on either side. It has these gifufim, therefore there's no problem, and it has no issue with the Reshut HaRabim. How about, does it have an issue with the people in the mavui that may cut through the chatzar, which turns the chatzar now into a commons, and therefore would require a shituf with the b'nei ha-mavui? In this case, since it's a chatzar, they'd have to make an eruv with them, would be terrible. No, that's not a problem, because the din is that a mavui that opens into a chatzar, where it's not meant for ingress and egress, doesn't asr on the b'nei ha-chatzar. B'nei chatzar asr on b'nei mavui. B'nei mavui will not asr on b'nei ha-chatzar, as we'll see later on. Therefore, the people in the chatzar have no problem. But to carry in the mavui, there you've got a problem. Now, our assumption was here that being as the case that we mentioned was nifritz ha-chatzar mikenegdo, that over here it's going to be usher because of the fact that it looks like a mavui mafulish from the perspective of somebody standing in the mavui. Otherwise, why mention kenegdo? Okay? So you're telling me, therefore, that it would be a mavui mefulash. Not because of the chatzer bedavka, correct? Now, Rabbi Yehuda said the case, the equivalent case, in a Rechava. He was implying that the issue over here is only limited to the smashed wall. Vis-a-vis the smashed wall, I don't have a problem. Rav just said he does have a problem. Furthermore, said Rav, I've got a problem, but only with the smashed wall, which is why I take this case to tell you, look, if it's Nifritz Amikonegdo, then you got a problem. If it wouldn't be Nifritz Amikonegdo, let's say the mavli would be on the side and would open out and anybody could see from the mavli there's still a wall in front of them, I wouldn't have a problem. Why wouldn't you have a problem? You're in a chatzar. Aren't people going to be walking to the mavli? I don't have a problem with that. We'll see later on what the issues are of that problem. Because basically when you're standing in the chatzar and you look at the mavli, you've got a lechi on either side, which is the wall of the chatzar itself. Right? Okay, we're going to see whether that's considered to be vis-a-vis the B'nai HaKhatzer ahead or not. But clearly, Rav is saying that as far as the issue of the B'nai HaKhatzer, I got no problem with B'nai HaKhatzer. Therefore, to me, the case is open into a Khatzer. Why postulate open into a Rechava? What's the difference? Even into a Khatzer would be okay if it wouldn't be open on the other side. On both of those counts, Rav Yehuda just argued with him, didn't he? Because Rav Yehuda said, it's only because it's a Rechava, if it would be a Chatzar, you'd have a problem of the people walking to the mavli. First of all, on the count of Diurim, he disagrees. Furthermore, he's saying over here that if it would be Nifritza Bimlo'o, the mavli is Asur, specifically because it's a mavli Mefulash, not because people are walking. That's why it has to be Kenegdo. At least that's how it would appear. It would be reasonable to interpret this Psak of Rav. So therefore, Rav Yehuda can't possibly have said this, says Abaye, in the name of Rav, because then Rav would be contradicting himself left and right. So I ask you, if you're right, and it would be in the name of Rav, am I? Why would it be Asur? Why wouldn't it be exactly the same case Rav Yehuda just said, that it goes into a backyard, and you have it Nifratz Bimlo'o, Kenegdo, huh? How are you going to explain that? Or my lawyer said, hey, man, don't come down on me, man. I'm a lawyer, Donovan. I don't know. I told you I don't know. What are you telling me? I mean, don't get all upset here. I only know how I learned it. It was a Maizah Shahaya Uvda Havi. There was a case in Dura Dura Uta in Shepherdtown where there was a Mavoi, Shekola L'Rechava. The case was, it wasn't that anybody specified, okay? The case was a Mavoi ended up in somebody's backyard, had a smashed wall. They came and they asked Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said, you don't need anything, don't worry about that side at all. That's all I know, that's all I said. And I don't know who said it. And if you got a problem with it, Mishmei the Rav, so let it be Mishmei the Shmuel, the Lokash Midi, okay? But I didn't say anything, and you're coming down on my neck. But the truth is, Ashtu the Amalei Rav Sheshes, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, and now we have more information. I mean, Abaye scared Rabbi Yehuda away over here, but the truth is, that actually it could have even been said b'shmei b'shem of Rav. Why? Because Rav Sheshes told Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, I'm saying he told Rav Yehuda Bar Abba, you should know, Asber Lecha, I want you to understand what I learned from Rav about the case of the mavli that ends up in somebody's front yard. And Rav said to me, b'feirush, that it's not the way you thought. The reason that the mavli was usher in that case was because they hadn't made an Eruv. Not because it was Chatzar. It was a Chatzar Shenifritza. And he said, Kan She'irvu, Kan She'lo Irvu. There's another case where Rav Paskin that it was okay because they had made an Eruv with the B'nai HaMavli. In the other case, they hadn't made an Eruv. So therefore, the what Rav was saying is exactly the same thing according to this that Rav Yehuda said. If there's no Eruv, then the people in the Chatzar are going to Aser the people in the Mavli. So they've got a problem because there's no error. But if they had, the fact that it was Parutz Bimlo'o from the perspective of in the Mavli made no difference. In which case he was agreeing completely with the mimer that Rabbi Yosef had said in the name of the Yehuda. And therefore it could just as easily have been Rav's mimer as Shmuel's mimer. So now do Rav ad Rav Namino Kasha. Kan she'irvu b'nei chatzerim b'nei mavli. We could simply say the two cases refer to opposite situations, and where it ends up in somebody's front yard, over there the issue is, even if it's Nifritza Bimlo'o, the only reason you have a problem is if you didn't make an Eruv. But if you made an Eruv together, you wouldn't have a problem. If it ends up in somebody's backyard, you'll never have a problem, because you don't need an Eruv. So everything works out perfectly well, even Aliba de Rav, and there's no problem at all. What the machlokas is, we will discuss Bezrat Hashem tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the evening, having been cleansed and bright, and all new, Ashrechem Yisrael, Lifnemiyatim Taharim, great time to learn about the Nafka Mina, making an error or not making an error. This is your last opportunity.
For
money.
For
this is not for this? For the cap? I'm thinking that's the cap. Oh. For our kind. Sorry, what?
11 o'clock. Where? I'm not where going.
200 shekels? Yes, yeah, that's it. This is for the capital fund.
It's
not here. You want to put you back?
10 o'clock?
Gemara Chatima Tova to all of you, to all the ships at sea.
The machine kit.
Yeah, this one is great.